Grace and peace to you from God, our Creator, Jesus, our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit who sustains us. Amen. So I have been married for almost 3 years now, and you know what they say, if you really want to test your marriage, go on a cross-country road trip the day after you get married. That's what we did. And we're still married, so that's good. So the day after my wife and I got married, we traveled to California for my Lutheran year of seminary. So we got married, got in the car the next day, drove across country to California, to Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary, where I did my Lutheran year of seminary. And leading up to the wedding, not only were we planning a wedding, but we were planning this road trip. So we were planning the route that we were going to take to get from North Carolina to California. And we chose that we were going to take the southernmost route because it was quickest, you know, through Tennessee and Oklahoma and Texas and New Mexico and Arizona. And I really wanted to stop at the Grand Canyon on the way as one of our last stops. And because I'd been to Arizona in high school, but my family didn't go to the Grand Canyon when we were in Arizona. And I was so disappointed by that, so I really wanted to stop there. But when we were planning this trip, my wife, Sam, she said that she didn't want to go because it's not that great. And I was like, what? It's called the Grand Canyon. It has to be more than just great, but grand. And she had been in middle school, and she said, it's really not that great. It looks like all the pictures. You can't really see the details. It's just not that great. But finally, I convinced her to stop there on the way. And so it was one of our last stops on our road trip, and when we were walking out, because I hadn't seen it before, she was covering my eyes, and we were walking and getting closer and closer to the edge, and all of a sudden she yells, oh my gosh! And it scared me. I was like, am I about to step on a snake, or are we about to fall off the edge? What's happening? Why is she so shocked? But she was shocked by the beauty of the Grand Canyon. She was shocked because she was seeing it in a new way. And we realized that when she had gone in middle school, she did not have glasses. So yeah, it wasn't that great without glasses. You can't see the detail. It does look like every calendar picture. But this time she had glasses and she could see the details and the grandeur of the Grand Canyon. And it blew her away. She saw it in a new way because she had these prescription lenses. And sometimes in life we need to see things in a new way to appreciate them or to be changed by them or to see the detail or to go deeper. In our readings today, we are encouraged to see things anew. In the Sermon on the Mount, which we are still in the midst of, it's known for the Beatitudes, which we heard last week, where Jesus encourages us to see the world in a new way. Blessed are the meek, blessed are the mourning, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those who are reviled. That's not the way we see the world. We don't see those people as blessed, generally speaking. And now today, Jesus is encouraging us to see discipleship in a new way, to see our role as stewards and disciples as outward focused, not focused on ourselves only, but focused on those around us. We are to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We are to be more righteous than even the scribes and the Pharisees, who, despite the bad rep that they get in Scripture, were actually leaders in their community in a lot of ways. They were doing really good things, and Jesus worked a lot with the scribes and the Pharisees, which is why there's so much tension between him and the Pharisees when things aren't going the way Jesus thinks they should. So to be more righteous than the scribes and the Pharisees, that is a tall order. And Paul today in our reading from 1 Corinthians, he talks about how he's beginning to see the world in a new way. He's choosing to see the world in a new way. We know that Paul has this major conversion where he sees things in a new way. He goes from being Saul to Paul. And he has this call Whereas before he was persecuting Christ-following Jews, he becomes a Christ-following Jewish person, and he begins to spread the good news to the Gentiles. He has a change of heart. And in our reading today in 1 Corinthians, he says, "I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I have decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Mary Hinkle-Shore says that this is the lens through which Paul sees the world. This is his prescription glasses. He is deciding to put on these glasses and to never look back. She says, Mary Hinkle-Shore says, "Christ crucified is not what Paul sees, but how Paul sees." And just like Sam with her glasses seeing the Grand Canyon and its grandeur for the first time, the lens of Christ crucified changes everything for Paul. So what would change for us if we saw this way? What if Christ crucified wasn't just something that we saw on Sunday morning in church or in communion when we're taking the elements, the body and blood of our Christ who was crucified, or in our prayers throughout the week? What if it's not something that we just saw, but how we saw? What if Christ crucified was how we saw the world, like Paul? What if it was our lens for seeing the world, for seeing ourselves, for seeing others? How would that change us? As the front of your bulletin shows, we are still in the season of Epiphany in the church calendar. The season that kicks off on the feast day of Epiphany and ends at the beginning of Lent. The day of Epiphany, the feast day, celebrates when the Magi travel from the far east all the way to meet Jesus, this baby in a manger. And God was revealed to the Magi in this moment, in this meeting. God was revealed to the strangers from a foreign place. And so Epiphany is the season of God revealing more and more of who God is to us. I've been trying to open myself to these revelations this season. I've been trying to be intentional about that. I've tried to be open to what God is uncovering for me to see with fresh eyes. And so Epiphany is the season where we get to try on new lenses and see what happens. Epiphany is the perfect time to figuratively put on a new prescription and look around and see what changes for us, how we see things anew, where there is grandeur where we didn't notice before. So what changes if that new prescription, as Paul says, is deciding to know nothing but Christ and Christ crucified? What is revealed to us then? For me, the first thing that's revealed if I see the world through Christ crucified, through that lens, is divine reversal. Through the cross, God turns our world upside down. God turns our expectations on their head. The cross was a tool that was used for state-sanctioned torture. The crosses were often placed at the edge of town, on a hill, so that everyone could see the person who was being crucified as an example, so that everyone would be afraid. It was a way for the powers that be to impose fear onto people as a way of controlling them. This is what the Roman Empire did. Jesus disrupted the Roman peace, so he had to be crucified to make others afraid to do the same thing, to deter others from going against empire. The cross was a symbol of the power that the empire and the government had to control its people. But God took that symbol, the symbol of control and power, and turned it on its head. Now we look at the cross as a symbol of grace, as a symbol of life, as a symbol of God's love for us, which we celebrate, especially around Valentine's Day. Through the resurrection, through Christ crucified, God turns that symbol on its head. The lens of Christ crucified is a lens that turns power on its head. It changes the way we see the world if we look through this lens. The lens of Christ crucified means that the first will be last and the last will be first. It means that, as we heard last week, blessed are those who we don't see as blessed. Blessed are the meek, the mourning. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they will be filled. Theirs is the kingdom of God, Jesus tells us. The lens of Christ crucified means, as Paul says in the next verse of his writing, it's okay to come to God and to one another in weakness and in fear and in trembling and in vulnerability. Because if we know nothing but Christ crucified, we know that God actually meets us in those moments, in those moments of suffering and fear and vulnerability. God meets us and loves us in those moments. And this is another thing that the lens of Christ crucified reveals to us. Not only that God doesn't care about power and that God reverses our notions of who is first and who is last, but the lens of Christ crucified reveals to us something about God's love. God's love for us, a love that goes so deep that God would take on human flesh and suffer torture to the point of death, so that we may have the gift of life and the gift of this love and the gift of salvation. God's love for us is a deep love. Christ crucified reveals this to us, that we have a God who loves us not only at our best, but also at our worst. Christ crucified reveals that God loves all of us, just as we are. As Luther would say, 100% saint and 100% sinner. God loves all of us. Through the lens of Christ crucified, God turns our world on its head and reverses what we think. Through the lens of Christ crucified, we can see the true, undying love of God for us no matter what. And through the lens of Christ crucified, we are called to more. We are called to righteousness. We are called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Through this lens and through the Sermon on the Mount, which we are still in the thick of in our reading today, God's high standards for God's disciples are revealed. Martin Luther is known for something called the two kinds of righteousness. This idea that we are first justified by faith. This is that God's love piece, right? We are saved by grace, and nothing that we do can earn salvation. This is why we as Lutheran baptize infants, right? Because infants literally can't do anything. They cry, they sleep, they eat. That's all they do. But yet God still loves them and claims them as beloved, and they are saved in those waters of baptism. So nothing that we do earns us salvation. That's the first type of righteousness for Luther. But the second type of righteousness is that out of that love, that unconditional love, that grace as a free gift, we are then compelled to love and serve our neighbor. Not because we have to. Not because it earns us God's love. Nothing that we do earns or loses us God's love. But because we are compelled. We are so loved that we can't help but love and serve others. That's the second type of righteousness. And so, through this lens of Christ crucified, we are called to serve. We are called out into our community and into our world. We are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. And salt is nothing on its own. Think about it, a grain of salt sitting on the table. What good is that, right? Nothing. We just wipe it off on the floor and sweep it up later and throw it in the trash, right? Salt is nothing on its own. But when salt interacts with other things, when it interacts with our tongue, when it interacts with other foods, when it interacts with water, when it interacts with pepper, salt adds so much to the equation. It adds so much richness. In the same way, light, without something to illumine or to shine on or to reflect off of, it's not much on its own either. But when we reflect God's light into the world, we change the world. And as I said in the children's message, when we let our little lights shine, it makes a world of difference. Salt and light need to interact with other things, just like we are called out into the world. Out of God's love for us, we are compelled to interact, to serve, to do good works. The lens of Christ crucified is a lens of outward focus towards others, and particularly towards others who are suffering on the crosses of our world. The torture of financial instability, the fear of not having a home or a place to live, or being displaced as a refugee with nowhere to turn. God calls us to righteousness and justice in our relationships with our community, with our world, to be generous and distribute freely, as our psalm says. And as Isaiah says, to share our bread and our homes, and to not distance ourselves from our kin. The lens of Christ crucified should change everything for us. If we really put on those glasses and really look through that lens, it should change everything. Through that lens, the world is not as it seems. Rulers of this age are doomed to perish, as Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians. The meek will inherit the kingdom of God, as Jesus reminds us. Through the lens of Christ crucified, God loves us so deeply and passionately just as we are. And yet, the lens of Christ crucified should change everything for us. Because of God's love, we are compelled to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. You are called, you are loved, you are saved, and you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Amen.